Welcome back to Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis, and I want to thank all our listeners for joining in on the show. Again, we're airing this week from the Social Scene. I want to thank our friends over at the socialscene.me. Take a look at it. You'll be quite surprised organizing your social life. Pretty happy I got my key number one son, Alex Dablofsky, as my co-host today. We dragged him in, and he actually said yes, tried many times. He likes to co-host without me, but welcome, Alex. Thanks a lot.
Pleasure to be here, Jeff.
Right.
Sitting beside you.
Yeah, well, hopefully you're replacing me one day. That's the goal, guys. Always work succession planning from the beginning. And Alex is the guy. So I want to also thank our friends, whoever showed up at the Radio Entrepreneurs Cafe. It was a resounding success. Again, thank you, Alex and Chris. And we're going to be looking forward to our next one. So please stay tuned, watch our websites, watch your emails. We had full occupancy within 2 hours of Alex sending out the invitation. So wow. If you want to meet entrepreneurs, be an entrepreneur, and be heard by entrepreneurs, you want to go to the next Radio Entrepreneurs Cafe. Thank you, Alex.
It was fun.
Right. Oh, it was a lot of fun. I know you stayed a lot longer than me, party boy. I only got criticized by one person for leaving early, and it wasn't my wife. Our next guest, sorry for the delay, Charles Baruthi, right?
Yes, sir.
From founder, co-founder, and CEO of Lab Cloud. Welcome.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Good. Charles, tell us about Lab Cloud.
So about 3 years ago, we realized that there was a huge dynamic going on, or change in dynamic, I should say, in the biotechnology market, particularly where larger companies like Merck, Pfizer, AstraZeneca, they were shifting their R&D priorities into smaller firms, small and medium-sized firms in particular. And there was a huge emergence of a incubator-type model coming up in Cambridge, in Boston. So Boston has now become a central hub globally for biotech. And with that, we realized that over 90% of companies in the market did not have access to software that was essential for their business operations. So when we say software, we mean laboratory informatics tools. We mean
technical scientific software.
Exactly.
To run their business and their experimentation properly.
That's right. And but we also noticed in that same regard that there was a huge amount of investment going into the space. Now, the biggest part of any scientific firm, like a biotech firm, is their value is in their intellectual property. And their long-term goal is to be able to either go into a phase 3 FDA, which essentially means going into clinical trials, or moving into an acquisition phase by a larger pharma. So that's been the general strategy of what larger pharma has been trying to do, is to get into these companies very early on. What we've seen as a company is we want to try to get these companies from day one to start being compliant, be able to manage their purchasing, and to be able to keep everything in one place. So for us, it's been an incredible experience just to have seen this dynamic. So the OECD predicted in 2013 that 75% of all of the companies in biotech in the U.S. were under 50 employees, which is a huge change.
Especially in Boston,
right? And that's right. In Boston, that's a much higher percentage.
We mean greater Boston when we say Boston. Right.
Well, of course. I mean, you have Waltham, sure, and even all the way out to Worcester.
Right. But in the old days, if you said Boston, people thought, oh, they're not talking about us on 128.
Well, I mean, if you've ever been on Main Street in Cambridge or the vicinity of Massachusetts Avenue, you'll basically see that there are a ton of institutions, two of whom are now our largest clients, Lab Central, which was funded about $20 million from the state of Massachusetts, and one of our first and greatest partners, as well as Cambridge Biolabs, who are also an emerging startup incubator for biotech companies. So we've been doing an amazing amount of business with them and really have seen how companies can start off with about $500,000 in funding and then move into a $15 to $20 million Series A and beyond. In some cases, some of our clients have even gone public, which is an amazing feat.
Charles, really quite an interesting field to be in. You must have some kind of technical background or background in this area.
So I graduated with a double degree in chemical engineering and biochemistry and molecular biology
it
from
UMass. Must have been a big Amherst. Disappointment to your parents.
they thought so. they were certainly surprised. And then after that, I decided to take a detour. So prior to my graduation, I had a lot of experience in the lab. Very fortunate to have had some great technical experience from Brown University, Abbott Labs, Dartmouth Medical School, and about almost 3 years working under an amazing professor. Her name was Maria Santor from the UMass Polymer Science Department, and I was working on medical devices as a diagnostic tool. After that, I took up a position working in consulting in oil and natural gas. So I really, when I graduated, didn't have much of the business sense, I would say. I was more of a technical, strong engineer from a very strong lab background. And then I managed to learn a very, very different background in terms of the business side, being able to build on large contracts and the like. So it's been a very interesting experience prior to me starting a business.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I've been doing consulting since, at MAGE since 1984,
sure.
Since before then. But I come from the business side.
Right.
And I have done work over my career in medical and pharmaceutical, and I don't have the technical background, and clearly you have the background that would make people sort of listen to you, and take notice, because you would be the kind of person they'd want to hire.
Well, it's interesting. I think one of the biggest attributes that our company has really been able to pride ourselves on is that we're, you know, while my co-founder is co-founder Igor Armashko, who is, by the way, one of the best CTOs you'll ever find, he basically came also from the lab. So when you build a product, any type of product, as an entrepreneur, you want to be able to know the pain points that your customers are suffering from. And you want to be able to live that experience firsthand. And that's something that what is very unique in the industry that I think both myself and my co-founder really bring to the table. When we go and meet with clients, which I surprisingly, even as an IT company, we still do that, we really can talk to what they're working with, about their research, how they want to perceive what their research outcomes should be on a base level, and then move that and convert that into what you would call the technical level from an IT standpoint, which is a really great process that's been we've been able to, I guess, replicate over and over again. So that I think that's something very very good to have when you're working in this type of industry.
So how does your typical intervention look like? Is it a project? Is it an open hourly? How do you sort of engage with clients?
Well, I think that that starts. So that's actually evolved. I would say from our very inception, what we started to do was get with the clients, understand what they're looking for, understand how they built out their process, and over time, after about 2 years, I would say, of research and development in the product, we started to see redundancies. So in our first, I would say about 2 years, we did a lot of customer meetings. We did a lot of figuring out how the customer really thinks about the product. And then after that, we found customers just want to sign up for the product and just start using it. So we made it intuitive enough where they could just start right from day one on LabCloud, sign up on the website, which, by the way, all of our customers can do for free. At labcloudinc.com, which is great. So today we really don't have to do as much of that. But if a customer really wants to figure out and say, look, I want to know how this can be attributed to our process, they'll give us a call, we'll talk to them about it, and honestly, within an hour or two, they're able to get running.
Interesting.
So how long have you guys been in business? How long have you been doing this?
So we were in business for about 3 years, and you know, within the first 6 months, we actually pivoted our entire business model. So we started off as a company that, you know, was going on a licensing model, which is what a lot of IT companies typically do. And then from that, we realized that there was a bigger market. So we got a call from Johannes Fruhoff at Lab Central. He's the co-founder and CEO. And he said, well, the lab notebook and the inventory looks good, but we want a procurement system. So if I'm going to be talking about a pipeline, customers in their lab, they're writing down their experiments, they're doing all of these things like updating their inventory because they're using all their resources, right? Their resources get low. What's the first thing that they want to do? They want to order more. So we started reaching out to companies like Thermo Fisher, Life Technologies, Sigma Aldrich, VWR, basically the top lab consumables companies. Now, at first, they had no idea who I was. So, of course, you know, I was about 25 years old, and I was making a call to these guys saying, look, we've got this software platform, come on board. We didn't have a star client. And Lab Central basically said, you know what, we believe in this platform, we can do it with you. And at the time, we were at an incubator called the Venture Development Center, and they had really helped us strategize how to get a corporate client, what that meant, the going through the contract process. And within about 7 to 8 months from that time, we had actually started working with these vendors, to the tune of where today LabCloud works with the top 10 lab consumables companies in the world. Some of them are Fortune 500s. Some of them are also in the Fortune 1000. And we're actually growing that exponentially every month today. So now our entire revenue model is based on the transactions, the advertising, and in the future, the market reports that we're able to generate on this unique segment of the market.
Interesting. Charles, sure. Would you come back again and talk to us, give us a case review of something you've worked on?
Absolutely. We'd love to. I mean, I think one of the tough things about the case reviews is you don't want to divulge too much of the customer.
No, don't give us the client. Just give us a sense of the intervention from the beginning, how you met, to how, what you worked through type of conceptually.
Absolutely. It'd be a great thing to do.
Right. Good. So we'll schedule that this week, and that would be a great idea. If somebody wants to find you at LabCloud prior to hearing you again, how would they find you?
Well, if you go on labcloudinc.com, our information is right on the website and right on the About Us page. So you can send me an email. I'm happy to talk to everyone. Additionally, if you would like to sign up for LabCloud, you can do so on labcloudinc.com.
Great. I want to thank you for being on the show. Look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Remind everybody, talking to Charles Beruthy of LabCloud, co-founder, CEO, also with Alex Dablofsky, asking the question of how many years, and also my site.
You asked all the right questions.
I could have said, doing your imitation of Marcel Marceau, but only Chris knows what I'm talking about here. See, that got to Chris. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm CEO of Mage and comedian du jour for this interview. And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.